Harper Audio presents This Duchess of Mine by Eloisa James, performed by Susan Duerden. Chapter 1. Beaumont House, London seat of the Duke of Beaumont, March 26, 1784. No one dressed to please a husband, at least not in the Duchess of Beaumont's circle of acquaintances. One dressed, to be frank, to dazzle and amaze one's female friends, or, if one were so inclined, to invite a seduction, to engage in an affair. Husbands were just there, like coal in Newcastle and pigs in the sty. Which made it all the harder for Gemma, the Duchess in question, to decide what to wear to seduce her spouse. After all, Elijah had been her husband for years. True, they had lived apart for some time, but now they'd agreed, in an alarmingly businesslike fashion, that after he returned from a fortnight spent at the Prime Minister's house, they would... Would what? Have a baby, produce an heir, or at least go through the motions that would produce one in 9 months. Go to bed together. They had come to that decision a year ago. When she had first returned from Paris, she was too angry to contemplate marital intimacies. But then somehow the fury drained away. Still, they kept to separate bedchambers. The humiliating truth was that Elijah didn't seem terribly interested. First, he said, he wouldn't bed her until she finished her chess match with the Duke of VA, since everyone believed that the match was naught more than a cover for an affair. Then, when she threw in the chess match, giving the win to VA, Elijah announced that he was going into the country with Pitt's wing of the government. She couldn't imagine another man claiming that he was too busy to bed her. Too busy to seduce the Duchess of Beaumont. Unlikely. Gemma didn't think she was being overly vain, just realistic. It had been her experience that men were driven by lust above duty, and she had been assured by male attention from age 16 that she was precisely what a lustful man would like to find in his bed. She had blue eyes, hair of a deep golden colour, a very elegant nose. She particularly liked her nose. And crimson lips. True, the crimson colour resulted from lavish applications of lip rouge, but if one were lucky enough not to have a thin, hard mouth, one might as well draw attention to it. And at 28, she still had the allure of youth, together with a sheen of sophistication and wit that no 16-year-old could command. She even had all her teeth, to lower the subject to the level of cattle. The problem, it seemed to her, was that to Elijah she was a wife, not a woman. There was nothing sensual about the word wife. Gemma gave a little shudder. Wives nagged and complained. Wives wore little caps on their fading hair and suffered from broadening hips due to childbearing. It was mortifying to be a wife. Even worse, a wife whose husband was reluctant to take her to bed. It was definitely a new and rather disconcerting sensation to feel that she was more interested in bedding a man than the reverse. She was used to men trying to seduce her. During the years she lived in Versailles, gentlemen considered her ripe for the plucking, given that her husband lived in England. They swiveled before her to display a powerful thigh, flaunt an embroidered coat or an enamelled snuffbox. They dropped roses, plums, and poems at her doorstep. She smiled, enticed, laughed, dismissed. She dressed to amuse herself and to dazzle the court. She dressed for power and admiration. She certainly didn't dress to enchant men. She took that for granted. But the whole process of making her toilette felt different tonight. She wanted all the passion and energy her husband devoted to the House of Lords, to the fate of England. She wanted him to look at her with the same hunger that he showed for a new bill in Parliament. She wanted Elijah at her feet. She wanted what she probably couldn't have. No wife had that.